Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Have you ever stared at the night sky and the stars and planets up there? What does it mean and how does it relate to our lives? Well, a new documentary premiering next Friday looks at the skies above the Atacama Desert in northern Chile, the scientists and astronomers who observe them, and the people born there who live beneath the stars. It also looks at the filmmaker's personal impressions and interactions with the people she meets. It's an astronomical, spiritual, and anthropological look at life in a desert beneath the vast night sky. The film is called Cielo, and the filmmaker is Allison McAlpin. Allison's award-winning and critically acclaimed documentaries have played at film festivals around the world. Cielo opens in Toronto next Friday, and I'm very pleased to have Allison at CIUT via telephone from Montreal to tell us more about Cielo. Hi, Allison.
Hi.
Thanks so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me.
So, what does the night sky mean to you?
Oh, I miss the night sky in Chile enormously. Changed my perceptions of the sky when I was about 5 years ago when I was in Chile pursuing another project. And what? I was in a little... Go ahead, sorry.
Why were you in Chile?
I had a Canada Council grant to pursue another astronomical project. And I was looking at possibly filming following this project. And it was on a weekend, I went to a little village in the Elqui Valley, which is in the southern part of the Atacama Desert. And I was just walking outside in this village, and it happened to be a night without moon and a typically beautiful night. And all of a sudden, the lights in this little village went out, and I looked up, and it was as if I saw the sky for the first time. I'd never seen such beauty, and I had so many questions. And I just stayed there and watched the sky and realized we don't see the sky anymore in our daily lives. And how's that changing us? So that's basically...
I was thinking about that in the news this week. They're talking about the various planets that you can see on the horizon. But in Toronto, you can't see anything. Unless it's a full moon, you can see the moon, but too much light pollution. But in the desert, you're beneath that. But how do you capture it on film?
Well, it was enormous challenge. How do you capture such a magnificent sky within the confines of a picture frame? So we really experimented. It was a long process of experimentation with rhythms of time lapses, with exposures, with certain lenses within our budget to try to convey something of the grandeur and how the sky absolutely moves you.
Did you consider using fake stars?
No, because well.
In a lot of movies, when they want to show stars in the sky, they put little lights or superimpose on the screen. But you actually captured the real night sky.
Yeah, well, it's so it's addictive. It's so extraordinarily beautiful. You know, it's such a challenge. How do you capture that beauty? You know, as I say, within a picture frame. But no, we didn't want to use. Our challenge was to convey that sky. And the only thing we did, which was I wanted an intimacy in some of the sky imagery as well as these magnificent vast skies one sees in Chile, in the northern Chile, but how to capture something also imaginary as if you're right beside a planet or right beside a galaxy. And that we created organic effects in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I suppose you could say, fake, but it was all with organic material, not with CGI or computer.
Right. So did you also work with the astronomers at the observatories and use their lenses or their telescopes to photograph at all? Or
no, we used our assortment of photographic lenses only. But and then we used when we went to the studio to create these organic effects, we used a phantom camera, which is a very expensive camera that can shoot at, we were shooting at 4,000 to 2,000 frames per second to get a macroscopic, intimate feel. But no, we didn't use any of the lenses. The images often in an observatory, first, you know, what you see are just computer statistics, really. You know, they're not photographing anymore the sky the way they used to with big plates of photographs.
Atacama Desert's notable not only for the observatories and the people there, but it's also a place with ancient geoglyphic art carved into the stone and the mountains and the plateaus there. Can you talk about them, what they look like, and how? What was your impression of them when you saw them?
They're magnificent. There's a number of places in northern Chile where there's what I think you call petroglyphs, which are more rock painting.
Petroglyphs.
But those are the rock paintings, and we have some inventory of that, and they're more common of shamans or often of stars and constellations. But what we discovered in just by chance, really, is a place called Chug in the northern Atacama Desert, where there's more than 500 figures, which you can see only really properly from the sky. And so we shot those with a drone. But the figures are of everything from, people really don't know what they are, but they look like perhaps shamans. They call them jatiris. It looks like stars and constellations, perhaps suns. Sometimes it looks like maybe somebody fishing or whatnot. But they're extraordinary 500, not that well known, like in Peru, figures across this desert.
I understand it may have been the same people in Peru as in Chile who made these designs or these glyphics. Is that right?
Don't really know, because I've asked various archaeologists, but they all have different theories, and I don't think anybody really knows. But some have a theory that nomadic people were traveling from place to place, and yes, there wouldn't have been those borders, and they from Chile to Peru or to Bolivia, for instance, and they would stop. But these were their sort of marking tools, marking sort of places, you know, as they nomadically traveled. Interestingly enough to me, some of the people who are preserving it in Chile don't see any relationship with these figures to the sky, which I can't understand, because the only way you can view these properly is from the sky, you know, an aerial perspective.
You spoke with people from that area, the indigenous people or their descendants. Can you talk about their relationship with the night sky?
Well, what's so exciting about Chile, even in Santiago, where you can't, like you mentioned earlier, like in Toronto or Montreal, where you're lucky if you see the moon. San Diego, of course, has the same problem. But even in Santiago, and for Chileans, the sky is alive. And you can go into a taxi and talk about, within seconds, talk about the universe, how the universe was born, or a vision of an possible extraterrestrial. And university people, too, there's an aliveness in the sky. But in the desert, yes, in particularly, where the sky is so extraordinarily present, I was lucky to encounter extraordinary characters, like, for instance, a young man who's grown up collecting algae all his life.
Yeah.
And the sky is a refuge, is literally a refuge for him. The moon and the stars, when he's troubled and he's had a very, he's had a difficult life, but it is a form of, for him, of a refuge. And he imagines, there's a lot of love in the sky for him, a lot of protection. So people do, and of course not everybody, but certain people have a very strong and emotional relationship to the sky.
You met such interesting people there. Like there's a man who flies, like on the surface of the earth. Can you talk about that? I wasn't sure what that was.
Yeah, Roberto Garcia. He's a beautiful man. He's a Atacamanian. From the northern part of the Atacama, from a little village called Catarpe. And he, you might say, he wouldn't call himself a shaman, but he, in his dreams, he flies. And he's often flown to describe how he flies to the stars and flies among the stars. And he has he's another person who has a very, he talks about the stars, his family, you know, the stars of his family and the night sky of his family. And it's a beautiful story, if you remember, about his daughter, who before she died very young, said she was one of the three Marias, one of the stars in the sky. And and he didn't know she was about to die. So he always has that relationship with that star and his daughter.
Those are the, did he say there's stars in Orion, or?
Yes, they're what we call, or what, you know, many people would call the Orion's Belt.
Right.
Stars in Orion's Belt, yeah.
So your film Cielo, I'm speaking with Allison McAlpin. Your film Cielo has a unique style, but for me, it reminds me of the documentaries of Werner Herzog with its combination of scientific discovery and the strange and quirky people he encounters, along with the filmmaker narrating it and the beautiful, beautiful photography. So that's what your film most reminded me of. But who would you consider your influences in making your documentaries?
Oh, it's nice to have Herzog, certainly, as mentioned. Who would my influences be? I think my influences are more in the world of fiction.
Interesting.
Not that I love documentaries, but I find because I don't, neither does Herzog, of course, but I don't tell image issue-based stories.
One thing that really struck me in the film, aside from the people and the sky, were the big observatories, metal moving open and closed. It's almost like a poetic movement. Can you talk about your filming of the machines and the big metal plates?
Well, I love those machines. I always imagine when from the moment I was lucky to, before we filmed, I was lucky to observe with Stéphane Oudry and his team, for instance, the French team in the film. But from the first moment I was there in these observatories at night, is that it's like giant metal beasts that churn and shift all nightward, looking up, and they go in different rhythms, these domes and sometimes more modern shapes. And the sounds that come from these mammoth metal beasts are extraordinary. It's like it's a music. And so that always, I had always these that image from when I first began. And so when we have a particular section towards the end of the film, which is really like a composed a bit like a dance of the telescope.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you had two different types of observatories, the square shape and the dome shape.
Yes.
Just beautiful.
Oh, great.
And finally, what was the hardest part about living in the desert?
I loved being in the desert. I suppose the hardest part, or the challenging part, was at night to when a lot of the time lapses, sometimes I did them, often I did them on my own too because of funding. I love to take these time lapses. But in brief, and I did it with my wonderful crew, we did time lapses. But in brief, in any case, we often did them in winter in the desert, in the northern desert. And it's very, very, very cold.
Hmm.
So the desert is cold. And you're at high altitude. It's very hot in the day usually and very cold at night. And you're at high altitude. And it's wonderful for pictures because there's little noise in the pictures. But it was, I don't have problems with altitude. But it was, and then we got lost a few times because we were trying to get very isolated places. But I suppose the cold sometimes was a crazy challenge. But it certainly kept you awake.
And it certainly resulted in a beautiful film. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Well, thank you very much.
Allison McAlpin's new documentary, Cielo, is opening in Toronto 1 week from today. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.